Welcome to Real Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Real Business Connections Network. Real Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts because they each provide real value and insights on business and life. In our book, they are real hits, full episodes in their entirety. This way, you can gain more value from other podcasters' personalities and guests. Today is an episode of the Be Better Broadcast with Brandon Eastman. The Be Better Broadcast with Brandon Eastman, and it is entitled How to Build Self-Confidence in Sales with Di Manuel. How to Build Self-Confidence in Sales, Di Manuel and Brandon Eastman. I do encourage you real quickly as we talk here to subscribe to the Real Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to the Be Better Broadcast. Oh yeah, if you'd like to submit your podcast to be featured on Real Hits, DM me on LinkedIn or email ben@BalbertMarketing or BAlbertMarketing.com. Enjoy the show.
What makes you successful in your sales is not just a strong sales process. It's not just an incredible product. While those things are super important and definitely part of the equation, what truly translates to ultimate sales success is how you feel about yourself, your own levels of self-confidence, your own self-worth, the beliefs that you have. And today, we're going to be talking with someone who I believe, out of all the people I've met in my life on this 28 years on earth, the man we're talking to today exudes more confidence and certainty and self-belief than practically anyone that I've ever met. And I think you're going to know exactly what I mean once you meet him. And some of you may have already met this man. His name is Mr. Di Manuel. He's all the way from Vancouver, up in Canada. And Di was my business coach for a very long time. And I'm honored to have him back on the show for the first segment of Selling from Strength, where we're going to talk about sales laws and strategies that are unchanging that will help you to sell more products, believe in yourself, and build your own levels of confidence. So you know the fee for the broadcast. When you take away any piece of advice, or wisdom, or philosophy, or strategy, or maybe we even made you laugh or smile, all that we ask is you share this show with just one person who could use it as well. You're the reason this show has grown over the past few years now, which blows my mind, and you're the best part of the Be Better team. So thank you so much for sharing this show. So without further ado, let's talk to the man of the hour, our guest today, Mr. Di Manuel. And for those who don't know Di Manuel is a super dad, dating his wife, and he lives a lead by example way of living. He is a contagious and inspirational human being who is on a mission to positively impact 1 million role models around the globe to lead a functionally healthy life through education, encouragement, community, and so many more ways. Di, you are a super dad. You're a super friend, and it's great to have you here, brother.
Super friend. Yeah, it's great to see you, Brandon. This is it's just absolutely awesome. When you reached out to me a number of weeks ago to talk about the new concept for this segment and we're in a series, I mean, I was like, hello, thank you. I'd love to be a part of this and have these types of conversations. You know that. Like yourself, it's value bombs, right? Because both you and I have developed excellent sales skills, but not by chance, you know, yeah. Like it's through observing these types of conversations, being the fly on the wall to absorb some of this wisdom that comes from others. And so I know a lot of what we share is often things that have been imparted on us through role modeling and through mentorship and coaching. And so anytime there's an opportunity to pass that wisdom on to the next person, I'm all for it. So thanks for creating the platform to do that. And thanks for having me back. I feel absolutely honored and stoked to be here.
It's great to have you, brother, as the first guest of Selling from Strength, which is super cool. And let me tell you why I thought of you, okay? Aside from many obvious reasons, we talk all the time. But when I think of people who are masters in sales, right? It's people who have been doing it a long time. It's people who love selling because to them, selling is serving, right? It's making a difference. But I remember when you sold me to work with you, but you didn't do it in the conventional salesman way, right? We started talking in January of 2021. And I remember I told you exactly what I wanted to achieve. I told you what my goals are. And you looked at me and you said, Brandon, you know I can help you to achieve what it is you want to achieve. And when you said that, I could sense that you weren't just saying that, right? You truly believed that you could help me make progress in my business. And over the next course of a year to a year and a half, I did make progress in my business in many different big ways. This show being a result of our work together. You said, hey, have you ever thought about a podcast? And I was like, not really. And I'm like, I'm already doing all these things. And you're like, Brandon, you got to think about a podcast. And I was like, why? And you told me, but you were certain, right? And you were confident in yourself saying that. I know that that certainty isn't something that you were born with. Maybe you were, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like, where did that self-belief and confidence come from for you?
Well, first of all, thank you. That's a great question. And a nice setup too. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest. No one's had a straight line when it comes to life. I mean, if you've been able to just go from A to B, well, I mean, right on. I haven't had that luxury. I've been like A to Z to X, Y, 1, 2, 3, and back again, right? And it's not by chance. It's based on choices, decisions I've made. And I think we all have to have that sort of self-accountability and awareness that we are just byproducts of our decisions and experiences. And often the inputs that influence us. And I think back, you know, when I was in my early years, preteen years especially, I was very unhealthy. And, you know, I was dealing with some mental health challenges. And I'm extremely introverted, just so you know. And I'm very cautious when I use I am statements, okay? Just full disclosure here. Anybody that likes to use those I am statements because it makes us feel comfortable or confident at times. But, you know, they are very limiting as well if you think about it. And so I'm not here to say I own these labels, but I definitely at periods of my life felt like I did. And, you know, early on, I was very withdrawn. I was morbidly obese. So as a result, we all are familiar with, you know, that state of unhealth and how it affects our mental health, not only just our physical health, but mental, emotional, spiritual, even to an extent. And I was definitely living that day in, day out, you know, and struggling a lot. And I realized I needed to get healthy, Brandon, you know, and it wasn't until I actually hit 15. So after about 5 years of living in that state and that woe is me and that isolation and really just avoiding social interaction as much as I could, I realized that's not the life I wanted. There was a lot of things I did want. And a lot of people ask me, what was the main motivation for getting healthy at 15? And I'm like, you know, full disclosure, I wanted a girlfriend, you know, like, and I mean, if we dig into that, obviously I wanted someone to want me, you know, someone to care for me, to love me. And because I didn't feel that way about myself. And that is that key piece right there, what I just said. That's often the thing that holds us back in so many ways in life. It's just how we perceive ourselves and how we perceive ourselves as either being valuable or not. You know, the one statement, am I enough? You know, and really we have to make that more emphatic, right? It should be an exclamation mark, not a question mark. Am I enough? It's like, I am enough, right? Like, and to go from question to exclamation, that takes work, you know, and I'm very fortunate that I've been someone that's submitted himself to coaching and to mentorship and to learning. I've humbled myself. I've said, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? Which is a level of vulnerability. We don't need to go into that conversation, but for those that are interested, I got a TEDx talk if you want to watch it, all about vulnerability. but that is really it, you know? And so early on, I realized, you know, if I wanted to see changes in my life, I got to be the protagonist of my own life. I have to be the one that wants to be a champion of change, not feeling like I'm a victim of change all the time. And so setting that in motion and learning that lesson early on at 15 years old was great. You know, now it took me 20 months to release all that excess weight I had and to get into a sort of new flow or lifestyle. But mentally, I hadn't matured yet. And I still had a lot of those questions like, am I enough? Yeah. Even though I was getting physically healthy, I was changing. I was getting, I was starting to receive attention, you know, I was stroking my ego a bit. I started to think, okay, I'm starting to feel like I'm worth something. But still on the inside, I was hurting. Yeah. You know, I was still struggling and, you know, not to you know, belabor this any longer. I eventually transitioned away from Toronto to move to Vancouver. I got into University of British Columbia, started in the sciences, realized I'm not too keen on the sciences, moved into philosophy and English literature. And then everyone's out there listening to this, watching this right now. They're like, oh yeah, what do you do with that? And I'm like, well, I became a personal trainer. there you go. Full disclosure. Just can't do much else. It's either a lawyer or teacher. And I was like, I just don't have the patience for either of those. So yeah, personal training. I love helping people with change.
Yeah.
I myself worked through that change. So I felt I could really help people with that. And, you know, eventually that led me to getting into sales and selling fitness equipment because I struggled as a trainer. I fully admit I wasn't a great trainer in my 20s. I lacked patience and understanding of my clients. Really, truthfully, I lacked empathy, which is funny, right? Considering where I came from. But that was just my mindset. I just didn't know enough. And so I was attracted to sales and selling fitness equipment because I was like, wow, this is a big toy store for people like me. All these cool products. I love this stuff. But I had no sales experience, zero. But I had a passion for the industry. And that manager saw that natural passion in me and saw the spark and was like, you know what? We can work with this. Because you can't fake the passion. Now, my wife might have a different opinion of that. But we'll just say, no, we don't, right? Like when you're truly passionate about something, you can tell that energy, that raw energy, that desire, that because it's contagious. It trickles over to the next person in the conversation and they too get excited. And that's the thing about authentic passion, especially when you start to align it with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And here's the cool thing. I'm going to throw another P at you guys. By chasing and aligning my passion and my purpose of supporting and making an impact in people's lives, profit went up. My income went up. But I had to learn how to connect with people and how to serve them, but serve them where they're at and create the bridge to where they want to get to. And so that was it. That's sort of a 5-minute overview of like how I got into sales. And then obviously that set off into a 17-year career in that industry, in the fitness equipment space. And then I eventually transitioned and exited out of my company into doing what I do now, which is, you know, coaching and mentoring people, not only life, but business and everything in between. Right. So, yeah, that's sort of the general overview. And I know we have plenty of directions we can go now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said a lot of things there that are very, very important, and especially that idea of empathy. And I remember reading a book called what was the book? It was the first one that I read was The Greatest Salesperson in the World. Oh, yeah. Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino.
Yeah.
Great absolutely. Book. Great book. I recommend it to everybody listening right now. Incredible book. It's like it's more of a fable, but it's incredible.
Yeah.
But the next one that I read, one of the next ones was The Magic by Rhonda Byrne. Ooh, and what you said about empathy, not having the empathy when you were, you know, in your early 20s and you were in sales and personal training. Empathy isn't something that you have. Empathy is something that it's a skill that you have to consciously use. Well, and the more that you use it, the better that you get at it. But Rhonda Byrne had an excellent exercise that she used to help people develop empathy, because the way that book is structured, it's actually very similar to The Greatest Salesman in the World. Mm. It's structured where you read one chapter each day and you follow the challenge in that chapter for a week.
I love that.
Okay. And it's great because it gets you to actually apply what it is you're reading. But she says, if you want to be more empathetic, and this is so important in sales, because if people don't feel that you understand them and what their true problem is, they're not going to want to do business with you, right? Mm-hmm. That empathy is just, you can sum it down to connecting with the human across the desk from you or across the Zoom call from you. And she said, look into the eyes of the other person as you're speaking to them. Yes. And this sounds a little far out there, but she says, look into their eyes and don't say it out loud because this would be weird, but think in your mind, I love this person. Right? Look into their eyes and think, I love this person. That thought, while it sounds strange, I challenge you guys to do it and to use it, because that thought changes the entire vibration at the desk. It changes the entire vibe of the conversation, because now you're looking at this person the same way that you'd look at your 80-year-old grandmother, right? You want to help them the same way you'd help your mother, your father, your best friends, whatever it is. So that empathy is huge, but I lacked it too. And our stories are very similar. To where I was 16 and I was overweight and I was like, I want a girlfriend, but I don't have one. And I think it's because of this, my body, right? So I took all these actions to lose weight and to get fit. And within 6 to 7 months, I was able to do so. I didn't do it by the most conventional standards, right? Mm-hmm. Using thermogenics and not eating as much. And I didn't understand the right ways to do things, quote unquote, right ways. But we also share the similar story where I lacked empathy in my early 20s. And I know that there's a lot of people out there right now in sales where I know this because I talk to them every day, where you go desk to desk to desk. And as long as you have some kind of relationship with them, if I ask them, do you feel that you're enough here? Are you happy with what you're doing? Are you happy with your income? Are you happy with your life? And I've had people tell me I haven't been feeling good about myself for a long time now. And this person to everyone else might look happy. They might look go lucky. But my question is, how can I help this person? Right. So there was a point somewhere in that story, I'm assuming, where you were able to look in the mirror and say, I am enough. When was that for you?
Oh, you mean yesterday? Okay. No. Listen, I want to be completely transparent. You know, it's still a question I struggle with. You know, it was hardwired into me back then. You know, and I believe in change. I believe in neuro change. I love neurosciences. I'm a neuro change practitioner, and absolutely love these types of conversations about change and rewiring the brain. However, as much as we work towards that new understanding, new belief, new perspective, if you will, even on ourselves and the world we live in, it's amazing what happens when we're not maintaining good self-care habits. Hmm. And what I mean by that is, as you said, you know, if you're not feeling good, it taints everything. It really does. It influences. It's almost like this overarching shadow or cloud, you know, and not to use a cliche, but it's like that cloud that follows you around. Right. And it's there, this shade, this covering, you know, this overarching feeling, if you will. And it does affect our perspective and how we show up, how we act. And so we have to look at, you know, what are some of the habits that we're doing and doing regularly, you know, consistently enough and frequently enough to actually make a difference. You know, because you think about when we get to a negative place, it's not like we had one bad experience and all of a sudden now we live in this negativity. It's usually been a culmination of numerous things and it's compounded to that. But on the reverse side, compounding, you know, compound interest is an example, is, as Einstein said, next to love, the second most powerful force in the universe, right? Because it's things compounding over time and exponential growth is often achieved and experienced through that. But you got to be consistently making those daily deposits. Hmm. And it can be positive or negative. And so you have to ask yourself, what are you feeding? You know, what are your intentions? What are you leaning into more? You know, and this empathy piece, it's really being able to not only hold the mirror up for ourselves to look at, but it's also that opportunity, as you said, to look at another individual, maybe hold a mirror up for them. But let them know it's okay. Whatever you see is okay. I get you. I'm there. I've been there, you know, and I think, you know, to give this more shape, this part of the conversation, Brandon, it's important for people to know that our brains aren't wired to be happy. They're just not. But they are wired to learn, to grow. And the two most effective ways we all learn and grow is through modeling, like role modeling, and mentorship. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you think back to all the amazing things that you've experienced and learned in your life, whether it be professionally or personally and everything in between, that probably was the two ways that you learned that. Modeling somebody else that you're close with, or you follow or indirectly follow. Like, and this is the thing about social media. I'm not going to go down this path, but it's a father of two teenage girls. I'm concerned sometimes at what influences them, right? Yeah. What are they modeling? Who are the mentors in their life? And in my life too, right? And so when I think about some of these biggest changes, especially when I got into sales and I didn't really understand what I was doing, but I liked to help people. I wanted to help people. I wanted to serve them. I wanted to help them create a great result. And for me, it was becoming healthier, you know, because I knew if you could work on your health and get a solid foundation there, instantly your confidence goes up. When your confidence goes up, holy, watch out. You know, momentum is there and you feel like you just got this just direction in life.
Yeah.
You know, and direction is important because that's the clarity we need to then take action and feel confident that I'm taking action in the right direction. And this is the direction I want to go.
Yeah.
And then we do things. And what does that do? It builds more confidence, which also allows us to gain more clarity, you know, by doing certain things and vice versa. So it's sort of this ebb and flow back and forth between clarity, confidence, action, confidence, clarity, right? We're sort of ebbing and flowing back and forth between these things. But the mentorship and the modeling, it's critical. So you have to ask yourself, who is feeding into my life? If there's things that I want to change, who is supporting me with these changes? And also, what am I doing for myself to support these changes? And I'm just very grateful that I had a wonderful mentor and I was able to model some amazing people in sales when I first got started. You know, and that actually continued on for a very long time because I never believed I was ever there. Mm-hmm. I never got there. You know what I mean, Brandon? Like, it's like, yeah, I'm proficient at sales. I'm proficient at inviting people to take action on something that they've already said is important to them.
Yes.
You know, and then reassuring and helping them get the clarity and confidence to believe that this is the best decision they can make right now. But then we got to do one more step. And actually help them do the thing that they said that they want to do. And I think that is the piece that's often missing in this whole sales process, if we want to call it that, is the follow-up. Mm-hmm. You know, and you and I have had side conversations about this. You know, we know how important the follow-up is, right? And also, you know, people have made a commitment. They've made an investment into something because there's something that they've identified they want to change or support or grow. Well, why aren't we following up to offer them some level of accountability to see how's it going?
Yep.
You know, because often we don't have that in our lives, you know? Yes. And that is a piece that when we have that, wow, watch out. Watch out. You know, it's just it's such a powerful force, you know? It really is. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you think about that?
That's one of the most valuable pieces of coaching. I mean, that's one of the top things that I look for is – does this coach help me apply what it is we've talked about? Like you had great ideas that helped me grow my business. But then the next conversation was, okay, so what have you done? Right? We didn't move on to the next big idea, but what have you done with this idea? It reminds me of when I took guitar lessons for a very long time. And I was very young when I took them and I was not disciplined with it, but I did go every week. And it wasn't the teacher's fault. It was more so my fault for not having a plan and clarity, like you mentioned. Mm. But we would learn a new thing every week, but I wasn't learning a new song every single week, right? I was learning like the first riff of it, but then the next lesson we would move on to the next song and the next song. So I ended up having this catalog of unfinished products, of unfinished songs. But a great coach would work on that same song until that song was finished, right? And if it was taking longer than it should for that song to be finished, for that project to be finished, whatever it is, then a great coach says, okay, let's put different systems in place, different self-care routines, even habits like what you mentioned in place that can help you. So you're getting to where you want to be in the best amount of time possible. And like the thing is with what you mentioned about mentorship is some people are thinking to themselves, I'm sure, well, I don't really have anyone I can look to right now who can be my mentor. And that was my case. I did have someone who I mentioned to you a long time ago, Keith, who took me under his wing. He helped me focus on my fitness. And like what you said, focusing on my health and my fitness was the first domino that pushed down all the other dominoes. And I'm a big believer, as I know you are, author of the Whole Life Fitness Manifesto, which, guys, we're going to talk about that, but links are in the description because Dai, this is his arena, just one of his many arenas. But his main focus is creating a great lifestyle so you can feel good about yourself, which will help you in your professional pursuits. It will help you in your personal pursuits, all these things. But my mentors at the beginning were virtual. So I would read sales books. And when I started reading sales books, that is what propelled me from just above average to world class, where people were like, how are you doing all these things differently? And I was like, well, these aren't my original ideas. I literally read a Zig Ziglar book, or I read a Chris Voss book, or I learned this from Grant Cardone, or I heard this cool thing, and I would apply it and I would use it. So your mentors don't have to be physical, and you don't have to model people who are physically around you. You can look to virtual mentors, but again, you'll get to a certain point where then a physical mentor will likely appear for you.
That's right. Oh gosh, that was so well said, Brandon. I couldn't say any of that better. That was just spot on and true. Because you know, as much as I had the role models, I also knew it was something that I wanted to excel in. I'm the kind of person that I don't like doing things half-assed. Yeah. You know, I don't like. What's the point? Like, it's because I think it's because again, at 15, I realized to make a lifestyle change, I had to fully embrace the new lifestyle. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'll do this halftime. I was like, no, because I wasn't going to settle for half results. if that makes sense, if that lands, you know, it's like we have a certain expectation for certain results and we set ourselves in motion to try to achieve those results. But if we do it with half the effort, we can't be upset if we get half the results.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is the, it ties into sort of work ethic, right? Commitment management, not time management, commitment management, managing where does our attention go, our energy flows, right? Like just riffing on what Tony Robbins and a lot of the other self-help gurus say, right? Like it's, and it's true. Where is our attention going on the day to day? So what you just shared, Brandon, is so, so spot on because it's those inputs that we control. What books are we reading? What videos are we watching? What conversations are we partaking in?
Mm.
Because all this feeds into us and it affects our perspective, not only on the world around us that we live in and hopefully thrive in, but also how we see ourselves in that world.
Yeah.
And so that self-education component is so critical, but it just takes a little bit of energy and a little bit of attention focused in the right direction. And do that a little bit every day. My goodness, a month from now, your entire life could be completely different. It's people so are like, true. Oh, I can't change that quickly. And I'm like, yeah, it can.
Yeah,
it can. Like it can. That's all I can say, you know, because I've been down this path many times myself and navigated a lot of change myself. And I can tell you, you can.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that you can, I believe that you can. And sometimes that's all you need, somebody else to tell you, you can do this. You can change. And that's where the empathy comes back. So just to tie it all together, that's that ability to be able to empathize where people are at and recognize, you know what? I get it. I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. But I can tell you right now, it will be worth it because you're worth it. And so if there's anything that anybody takes away from our conversation, this last 2 minutes, I think is the gold between you and I, Brandon. You know, this is the nut, the crux of our conversation today. And but realize everybody that's listening or watching this, you're in the driver's seat of your own life, okay? This isn't a driving Miss Daisy situation. There's not somebody behind the wheel guiding you and chauffeuring you around. You determine where you want to go. Now, of course, if you don't have a license, yeah, you can use an app like Uber and it will get you to A to B, but you still got to do it, you know? You still got to be there present for the journey. And that's where all the growth and the learning and honestly, all the fun happens too. So don't take shortcuts, okay? You know, just have fun and enjoy it. Because it just doesn't matter. Like, remember, Brandon, and I think we've talked about this in the past. It's like, if you knew that you were 20 workouts away from reaching that happy, healthy mindset, how quickly would you get those 20 workouts done?
Fast.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. It's like, at 20 workouts later, how much different do you think you'll feel from the time when you started?
Mm-hmm. Better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just so accessible. As soon as we start doing the new things, we start to experience new things and we start to see a shift in our perspective and our relationship with self and everybody else around us. So my question to everybody is, why put it off? You know, like, why do you put it off? Why procrastinate? Just start and see what happens, you know?
Whew. Damn. That's powerful, brother. That's powerful. I love that. Let's wrap that part up with the bow because that's perfect. And let's talk about some meat and potato stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as I put together my next book, which is Selling from Strength, is going to be the overarching title. It's a culmination of the laws of sales success that are unchanging. I feel like we have a lot of sales training and sales advice out there that came before the age of the internet, right? When it was all, you know, modeling the person's body in front of you and saying the same words and the same tonality and a lot of the old fashioned car salesman stuff, which some of it's true, some of it reigns true, but I feel like a lot of it was inauthentic. So I want to put something together that was different in the marketplace, but I didn't want this to just be a culmination of my own stories from my own limited life experience on earth. So you're the first person to join us for this segment, which is super awesome. And I want to ask you, just the top of your head, what comes to mind? What would you say has been the number one law of sales success for you throughout your life and copious amounts of sales experience?
Okay, you know what? I know what it is. Like for me, like above all else, it's be the type of person that you'd want to hang out with. It sounds so simple because it is. But be that person. Be the person that you would like to hang out with. that you like to get around, because that energy is nurturing and inspiring and uplifting. You know, are you that person? And if you're not, that's okay. Would you like to be? You know, would you like to be that a little bit more? Because if you are that person that you like being around, meaning that if you're comfortable in your own skin and you are liking you, others are going to like you too. Now, I'm not saying get to the point where you're egotistical, you know, and maybe completely biased to your own, you know, belief systems. But, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but be that energy that people like to get around. Be the energy that is uplifting, that is nurturing. Because, you know, this is sort of that age old, if you will, idea is that, what's the best way to say it? So, well, like attracts like, right? And mm-hmm. it often inspires us as well. Like we like to get around energy that makes us feel good, that makes us feel inspired, makes us feel excited about our own life, our businesses. And this is why coaching and mentorship also is amazing. You know, how many of us entrepreneurs feel like we're on an island by ourselves, you know, and nobody gets me. No one understands what I'm going through. And we have these little pity parties of one all the time, you know, and all we have to do is invite one other person to realize, okay, now it's a party. And this idea that I've been booting around my head, it's not true. But all it took was one other person to look at us and say, you know what you're doing right now? It's not helping you. You know, what about if you do this? Because this is what I see in you. This is who I see in you. And this is how you make me feel.
Mm.
Because that level of authenticity, when we connect with someone and we share with them, you can't help but come out of that conversation different, changed, more sure of yourself. And it's not just one conversation that's going to make that life-changing effect. It's having many of those. But realize as you receive that from someone else, you in turn can also offer that to the next person. And wow. You know, and I think that is the thing in sales we have to remember is that energy exchange. It could affect someone's entire day in a real positive way. You shared a story with me in the past, Brandon, where you've mentioned, you know, you get a disgruntled client coming in your shop, right? And it's not an opportunity to avoid. It's like you see the guy coming in huffing and puffing, right? And opens that door very emphatically, right? And it's like making mm-hmm. a lot of noise. You can tell he's PO'd, right?
You ask him how he's doing, and he's like, not too good. Hopefully better.
But that's an opportunity to help someone and turn their day around, you know? Yeah. And so what if you made that your intention? My intention is to help that person. So when they leave, they leave smiling, not the same way they came in, you know? Hmm. Why not? But a lot of people will shy away from that kind of interaction based on intimidation, you know, and lack of their own self-confidence. I mean, there's a number of factors that might play into that. But I like having the tough conversations at times.
Yeah.
Because it's just an opportunity for me to also grow, but for me to help somebody get through that challenging period. It's always great to help people that are already in a good spot, okay? And help them get to a great spot. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. We love those types of conversation. We love that kind of way of helping people. But you know what? The people that need it the most are the ones that are struggling.
Yeah.
The ones that are held behind. Because I'll tell you, at 15 years old, when I looked in the mirror and I saw my morbidly obese body, I had nothing but negative ideas about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I really disliked me. But there was people around me that saw that I was worth it, wanted me to be happier, and were there to support me whenever I was ready for the support. And as soon as I asked for help, man, they were ready to help. And thank goodness they were there, because it really did. It supported me. And because there's those days that we're down. And it's those days where our resiliency, if we've been working on it, it's being able to come back and not sit there for too long. You know, like it's easy to get into that place where we feel really negative about ourselves and our life, and we just stay there. We don't do anything. We're inactive, and we just sort of wallow in it. Well, resiliency is the ability to bounce back, you know, and come out of that. And hopefully every time you get back there, because you will get there. I hate to be, you know, a party pooper here, but you're going to have lots of low days. But on the low days, how do you support yourself to get yourself back out of that? So that low day maybe turns into a low morning. You know, anyway, so those are just some thoughts and some ideas around the sales, but just to surmise, you know, just be the person that other people like to be around.
Oh, we're going to dig deeper into that. Yeah. We're going to dig deeper. It's a couple of things, because it's funny you mention you see the person huffing and puffing when they walk in. And a lot of people do shy away from that because they, again, it goes back to that confidence of, I'm not confident that I'll be able to turn this person's day around. Right. And you just envision what you don't want to happen. You envision the person being angry at you. You take it personal. It goes back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. And now you're breaking the Stephen Covey law or the Dale Carnegie law of the number one way to lose an argument is to argue. Right. The only way to win is to not argue. Right. That's one of the ways that I transitioned from being just a sales rep to being a sales leader. And by the way, it was in title, but it doesn't have to just be in title. It can be in mentality. Was yeah. I was really good at de-escalating people who were huffing and puffing and angry to the point. By the way, I got good at that, not just because I was emphatic. I got good at that because I wasn't emphatic for a long time, and it caused people to huff and puff and come back in. So I got really good at de-escalating my own customers. And then other reps around me, other people in the store were like, hey, Brandon, I've got this person who's pretty upset with me and they're coming in later. I was hoping that you'd be there to talk to them with me. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to your customers with you. And they're like, Brandon, please, I'll get you lunch. Can you help me out? And I would start doing it. And it got to a point where my manager, Keith, he would call me when I was just a normal sales rep. And he'd say, hey, man, we've got this person coming in today. You're the person there that I would like to handle them because they're not happy. And I was like, why am I the one being chosen for all these things? But looking back, I'm grateful that I was the one to be chosen for all these things because it taught me how to show up in a way that caused other people to feel better, right? And help de-escalate them so that they did leave. But it's very clear, Dai. It's very clear about you specifically with many of the things that you've mentioned here. Be the person that you want to be like, you know, look ahead 20 workouts. How do you know that you'll feel like a lot of what you talk about is planning ahead. And planning how you're going to show up. And even a few things you've mentioned before we started this conversation, where you just had a planning session with your family, like you, Christy, and your two daughters, right? Yeah. Like, not many families I know get together with a literal whiteboard and plan out the next chapter of life. So you didn't say planning, right? But it's very clear that that's a big piece of this whole success formula. So I'm curious, just because I think it's cool more than anything, what do you plan? Like when you plan for yourself, but also what did you plan when you guys got together as a family with that whiteboard?
Well, it was thanks for bringing that up, actually. It was a fun 4-hour exercise, and it's something that we do quarterly, but we also do on the last Sunday of every month. Last Sunday of every month, we just do a check-in and really see how we're all doing and where we need help, and also talk about what we want to focus on in the next month. And listen, we only have so much energy every day, right? We just do. All of us have a limited supply. So you have to ask yourself, you know, how am I going to use my energy today? What is my intentionality for my energy today? And it's not a matter of like creating the to-do list of 20 bajillion things, because I actually have to-do lists of to-do lists, okay? Like, you talk about list overload. Yes, I am very specific that way. I have ongoing lists. But I'm not ever trying to think about, man, how am I going to tackle this list of 20 things? I'm thinking, okay, what is one thing? And by doing the one thing, it might actually support a few of the other things indirectly, or it's the one thing that I know is might require the most amount of energy today. So I might as well get that done first. And you know, this is not my idea. There's a book called Eat the Frog that talks about this, where he jokes and he says, listen, if eating a frog was your hardest and most challenging thing to do in a day, get it done first, you know? Yeah. You know, like, because then it's out of the way and you've got all that extra energy to now do some of the things that are maybe lower energy tasks, but also maybe more rewarding or fulfilling tasks as well. You know, there's kind of things that we do in a day that actually create more energy for us, like working out, going for a walk, maybe having a little meditation session, talking to a friend that we haven't spoken to in a long time. You know, these little things actually boost our energy. So it's creating that ebb and flow so we can tap in when we need to, but also recharge when we need to. And so those are a few things. I don't know if that answered your question fully, but those are a couple of things that come to mind right away when you brought that up.
Yeah, I it did answer my question. And again, it's very clear just reading between the lines here of plan ahead for how you want to show up, plan ahead for what you want to accomplish, but also plan your energy ahead of time so that Yeah, go ahead.
I got one thing. Sorry, I forgot the most important thing. Okay, and this sort of riffs on my whole life fitness manifesto. And, you know, sorry, I'm not trying to plug away here. But there's a framework that I call the 5S. And this 5S is also what we use for our family planning session. So there's fitness, faith, family, finances, and of course, fun. So when we look at these 5S, we can sort of classify some of the aspects of our life or areas that we want to focus on. And it falls under one of these five headings. But we want to focus on all five, and we're going to try to balance the five as best we can. And so like family would be also relationships, you know, anything that has to do with family, immediate or indirect, but also relationships in our life. And so we set maybe an intention for family as we think about the month that's coming or the quarter that's coming. For myself, it was like, I want to rekindle my five closest relationships with other men. So like, you know, we've often heard that there's we're the net sum of the five people that we tend to hang out with the most. So I'm revisiting who are my five. And so that's my focus this quarter, is to rekindle those relationships with those five individuals. That's under my family column, right? When it comes to fitness, well, I've just navigated COVID for the first time. My goodness, it's like legit. And it knocked me on my butt for a week, you know, actually almost 10 days I was in bed. Now, for those that don't know, I have a chronic autoimmune disease, and it leaves me very susceptible to viral infection. So of course we knew, my hematologists are like, hey, when you get this, it probably won't be pretty, but you'll be okay. And she was right. You know, it wasn't pretty. And I was okay, though. And I'm out of it now. But as I've come out of it, and I've only been out of it for about a week, I'm sort of resetting my fitness and my habits, my rituals around fitness and my health. That's under F. And so you can sort of continue along. Your finances is really where we talk about professional, anything that's career oriented, anything that's income generating or even investment based or cost based. But that sort of falls under that F. And because if we don't have a framework when we plan, it can seem really overwhelming, and that actually prevents us from even starting. You know, if the whole task at hand just seems like it, just too many choices, we get decision fatigue. And we're like, I don't even want to start choosing things because I might choose the wrong thing or that might not be the right direction. And so we start second guessing ourselves. Again, lack of confidence and clarity, right? So just to tie this all together, that 5F framework is what we utilize when it comes to planning, and it helps us keep very specific and very focused. And then it's just a matter of creating one intention for each of those verticals. And then you just get to work. You start creating the actual you just start doing stuff, okay? You just start doing specific stuff to work on each one of those areas, you know? And this has been wonderful for us, wonderful for our kids, because it also gives them structure. We all need a little bit of structure, you know? Because again, that helps with clarity and confidence. And when you got both of those, it's way easier to take action, and you procrastinate less and less and less, because you're confident that you're going the right direction, and you're confident this is the action I need to take next. So you don't procrastinate. You don't put it off. You just do it. And so this idea of planning is very important. And, you know, to riff on Edison, you know, fail to plan to fail, right? So anyways, that's it.
So those five F's can be found in the Whole Life Fitness Manifesto.
Yeah, or on my website. Like, we've got lots of free resources there as well. But yeah, in the book, and look, I just happen to have a copy right here. I'm a little bit younger in this photo, obviously. You can see a little bit more wrinkles, a little bit wiser now. But the base knowledge is all in here. And yeah, we share basically everything around the 5S, but it also provides a 28-day ritual where you invest 2% of every 24 hours, that's 30 minutes a day, into your self-care to really see improvement in body, mind, and spirit, you know? And I know it sounds cliche, but believe me, this 2% investment in yourself every day compounds drastically over 28 days, that I've never had anybody come back and say, my goodness, I haven't seen things improve in my life.
Yeah.
I welcome the challenge, and I tell everybody out there, you go ahead, and if you commit to doing this and you do it and you don't get the result, you let me know. I'll pay for your book. You know, I will. I'll pay for your book. I got no problem with that. You know, and then some. I'll even have a call with you, coaching call, just because there's something going there and I want to help you. Because if you don't do that, if you do this and you don't get a positive change,
you don't want room for
improvement. Okay. Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah. And
thanks for that opportunity, by the way, Brandon. Sorry.
No, absolutely. I bet you haven't had to buy a book yet, because guys,
I haven't.
You can tell by Dai's energy, like, this man's all about you transforming your life. And it comes from working with Dai for almost 2 years. Okay. You would find throughout weekly conversations an ounce of something that shows that he wasn't being authentic. And that didn't occur one time throughout our time together for 2 years. So if you are loving this energy here, imagine what you will take away from the Whole Life Fitness Manifesto or Dai's newest project, Merge 60, which I do want to touch on. I know you said, hey, man, I don't care if we get to this, which, by the way, I love your humility. And I know that it doesn't come from a place of, oh, I'm just going to say this, but you truly believe that. And I think that's another big secret of your personal sales success. Like when we first started working together, you didn't say to me, hey, Brandon, you know, go check out the invoice, go ring it out. What questions do you have? Let's get this done now. I've done courses where people are like, you need to get the client to sign up before they hang up the phone call, because if they hang up the phone call, they might not want to work with you after the phone call. And you've said, well, hey, man, if they don't want to work with me after the phone call, then maybe working together isn't the best thing for us. Right. So you even said, I'm not huge into just pitching services and going on press and podcasts and articles just to sell what I do, because the people who are interested will find a way to find me, whether I Absolutely. Pitch my services or not. But listen, I do want to hear about Merge 60, because I know it's impacting a lot of people's lives. I personally know several people now, Jay and Ben, who've personally gone through this. And they said, dude, it kicked my ass and it was the exact thing that I needed. And Dai was an incredible teacher. And you said that you'd never, you know, you didn't want to be a teacher, but you teach every single day of your life. So my question, and to wrap this up here, is what are you working on right now? Because I know you're working on a lot. And tell me about Merge 60.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Brandon. That's really kind of you to open that up. And, you know, a year ago, it's actually just over a year ago, last July, I had my second hernia operation. Just before that. And I was in a bad mental health place. Excuse me. You know, a lot of us get to that place where we just, you know, we work so hard to get to a certain place. We have a certain lifestyle and just feels like things are going smooth. You know, it's just like things are rocking and rolling, you know, quite literally. I was in a great place, felt good, you know, holistically speaking, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. I was just in a really good place. And then boom, hernia. Needed to have a surgery. Took, you know, the full 8 to 12 weeks to recover. During that time, I let a lot of things slide because I got into this place where I just got really negative about myself, depressed, you know, and was also dealing with some of my social anxiety that I used to deal with as a kid. You know, I manage a lot of my mental health challenges through my health choices, through my nutrition, through just how I live my life, you know, and I found that a lot of those things were falling to the wayside. And it, like I said, the compounding effect doesn't only work in the positive way, it also works in the negative way. Mm. And I just let it slide. I let things slide. And I got to a place where I just felt so low and really started questioning everything in my life, my purpose, what I was passionate about. My relationships didn't feel as authentic and sincere and connected. And I was just like, what the heck have I done? You know, here I'm a guy that talks about how to help people with all this stuff, and I didn't feel like I could help myself.
Yeah.
And so I drew a line in the sand. I was like, okay, I know what to do. I can do this. But I knew I needed to do things different than how I'd done it before, because I'm also in my mid-40s now. The way I would have tackled things in my 20s, the way I would have tackled things in my 30s, it wasn't going to be as effective because my life was different now. You know, I have almost adult age kids, right? They're 18 and 20, right? And my wife and I, we've been dating each other for like 22 to almost 23 years. Like there's a lot of history, a lot of experience there. And mm-hmm. as such, I'm a different person now than I was 20 years ago. So obviously I have to change how I support certain aspects of my life. So Merge 60 bottom line was literally, I documented everything I did, gave myself a 60-day. Remember I talked about the 20 workouts idea? Well, beyond 20 workouts, it was like, well, if I gave myself a 60-day run, created a runway, I commit fully to 60 days to really be aware of my self-care habits and really create a lot of great intention around what I was going to do every day. What kind of difference could that make? Could I literally end my year going into my 45th year and be my healthiest, fittest self in all levels? That was the question I asked myself. And I was like, well, why not? And then I got to work. And here's the crazy thing, Brandon. And anybody's listening to this, and you probably think BS, but this is the honest truth. It didn't feel like I had to work. Like the first time in my life, it just felt like everything clicked and everything just came. And I hate to use the term easy, because that implies a lot of things. I should say simple, but it did feel easy. Yeah. I started getting results. I was having a lot of fun with it. And here's the idea. Merge 60 is simply just an acronym. Merge, the M stands for move always, all ways, you know? E means eat smarter. So that learning to eat to thrive, not just simply to survive. The R refers to recovering. Recover better. The G, grow, growth in flow, right? When things are going in the right direction, we have that clarity and confidence. It's amazing how growth happens exponentially. Then the E again is about evolve, evolution. And 60 just refers to 60 days. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. If you're in traffic on a superhighway, anybody that's driven through LA, you know what I'm talking about here. You know, you got like a bajillion lanes, right? Well, here's the thing. The people that are most efficient in driving that traffic are very good at merging. Very good at merging. Why? Because you might be in the slow lane, but rather than coming to a dead stop is, oh, it's like, oh, if I move over this lane right now, I might not be going much faster, but at least I'm still moving forward.
Yeah.
And this is this idea of learning to merge in your own life. It's not always about trying to be in the fast lane to get as much results as quickly as you can. Sometimes you just got to take, you know, the side route, the side roads, you know, and focus on what you need to focus on. So when you do come back to that highway, you can continue that forward momentum. And so the whole process, the system, I documented, I put it to test. I've taken a number of individuals through this now. We're just in the preparation to officially launch it. It's going to have an app attached to it. I'm just super excited because the difference it's made in people's lives, I just love it. But they're all like telling me, it's like, I really didn't feel like I had to work that hard to get these results. And I was like, bingo, that's exactly the intention. Because it's natural. It's a lifestyle. And when you find a lifestyle that works for you, it's just living your life. You're not thinking, oh, I got to do this today. Oh, I got to eat this. Oh, I can't do this. And I can't do that. Like, that's way too prescriptive. Life is not prescriptive, right? It just isn't. I don't care who you are. It isn't prescriptive. And that's no fun. As you can see, I get really excited talking about this because I've now done Merge 60 so many times over the last year myself, and I keep getting better results. Mm. I am the fittest and healthiest I've ever been in my life. Even though I've just come out of COVID, I'm still in the best place I've ever been. And I was able to bounce back very quickly because I have that natural resiliency that I've supported.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that's sort of it in a nutshell. And thanks for the opportunity to talk about that. And anyways, that's it.
That's incredible. Congratulations on still being in the best health you've been in, even after COVID and everything there. And it really is an incredible program, man. It truly is. Just from seeing you go through it, it's clear how excited you are about it, even in one-on-one conversations together. And it goes right along with everything we've talked about here when it comes to confidence and self-worth and self-belief and planning ahead and the self-care routines, because this is something you do every day for 60 days. So where can people follow along with Merge 60 and your progress with it for those people who are saying, this sounds like something that I need to be a part of, but I want to follow the launch process? Where can they do that?
Well, you know, probably right now, the easiest thing to do is just connect with me on Instagram, you know, because I'll be posting and sharing a lot of content there that I will continue to talk about this as we sort of ramp up. There'll be opportunities to join a newsletter list, which will be specifically for Merge 60 and some of those philosophies and things that I teach. So I think that's the easiest way, because officially my new website doesn't launch for a few more weeks. When the new site, then everything will be there. So if diamondwell.com, it's sort of the hub for everything that I do. And then the social media extensions are really just where I continue those conversations in real time with others and individuals that I connect with or have the opportunity to connect with. And so that would be the easiest way. I don't have somewhere to send people right now because it's all being built. So again, I like to test things a lot before I finally put it to market, you know, and you know that about me, Brandon. That's sort of what I do. And so I'm excited, man. I really am. I'm excited for those that I can help. Like that's what gets me up in the morning, you know, this day. Yeah. And thank you for this conversation today, Brandon. Thank you for the energy.
You.
Thank you for so much for just creating a platform for this conversation to happen. I love it. And I know there's a lot of people out there that get so much value from this. And I'm honored to be the one to kick off this new series.
Thank you so much, man. I'm so glad you were the one to kick it off. I wish you the most success possible with Merge 60. And I'm so excited to hear other people's testimonials of what they take away from this once so many more people are going through it. So, Dai, thank you so much for your mentorship, for your friendship. And until next time, brother, thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, you've got a wealth of takeaways from this conversation when it comes to building confidence, when it comes to planning ahead, when it comes to eating the frog first, and when it comes to Dye's number one law of sales success, which he knew quickly. It came to his mind fast, which was be the person that you would want to hang out with. And there's a lot that goes into that that we talked about. Rewind the conversation, go back through it. But if you took away even one piece of knowledge or insight, share this show with just one other person who could use this conversation as well. Links are in the description to Dye's Instagram, his website, which is being revamped, but by the time you're watching and listening, it probably already will be. So check out dyemanuel.com. And as always, thank you so much for being the best part of the Be Better team. Until we talk again next time, continue to be better.